Please join me in a space of prayer. Truly, O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable and pleasing to you, O God, my loving parent. I also pray that you open all of our hearts to receive your love and your peace in these times of turmoil. Amen. A lot of the sermon is just explaining what happened for me. Jacob asked me if I would preach today, and I told him I would and asked him for the readings. He sent me a link. I opened it, and the web page was titled Proper 28 of 33, 26th Sunday after Pentecost, Year C. And there were six readings. You have to choose which ones you want to talk about. I thought to myself, okay, so this is going to be even harder than I thought. And I started scrolling through them and read Malachi 4, 1-2a. Surely the day is coming. It will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble. And the day that is coming will set them on fire, said the Lord Almighty. Not a root or a branch will be left of them. But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its rays. Okay. And then it was Isaiah 12. You will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away, and you comforted me. I didn't really get the angry God concept too well in that one. Moving on. The gospel was Luke 21, where Jesus was warning about the temple being torn down and false prophets coming, and people would be tortured for their faith. Wow. And then Psalm 98 reading. It was a beautiful description of God bringing victory. But it really would have been a challenge to make inclusive because it had he describing God about every fourth word. Now that we really understand inclusive language a bit better, it probably should have been she more than half the time. It was really like the lectionary knew that this would be the Sunday after the U.S. presidential elections or something. Even before I knew the outcomes, I knew there would be sermons being preached today on some of those other readings, focused on calamity, but I really chose to focus on the positive. And so I'm going to ask you to take a short journey with me into the concept of working together to build God's kingdom, based on the readings that you heard from Isaiah 65 and 2 Thessalonians 3. In the reading from Isaiah, God promises to create new heavens and a new earth that's so wonderful that the concept of the good old days will be shattered and not even come to mind. There are promises of joy and fulfillment, long life and abundance. Please notice with me, though, that it's not promised as a magical poof kind of creation. There's continuing references to building and planting and labor. God does promise to be right next to us during our efforts, but we have to make the effort and do the work. We can't sit back and think that it will be done for us, or that we're exempt from activity, or actively working to get things done. The Thessalonians reading clearly admonishes us not to be idle. And I'm really not sure what all the social background to that Thessalonians reading was. And I am certain that life was quite different in those days. But, as a matter of fact, in today's social media, those verses would really probably be characterized as a rant. I said that to Jacob, and he responded, well, he wrote several of them. But let's take notice of a few details in it. Paul's saying that he worked night and day to be an example for others to imitate. He then continued with the admonition in verse 13. Brothers and sisters, do not be weary in doing what is right. And that doing what is right is building Christ's kingdom of peace that's based on love. Christ's limitless love for each one of us, which is the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, the lion shall eat straw like the ox, but the serpent its food shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. That prophecy is fulfilled in Christ's message of peace and coexistence that we have inherited. We as a church have pledged to work toward creating this peace-focused world, as is outlined in the new MCC Statement of Faith that was adopted at General Conference. Reverend Jacob's been reading it as the call to worship for the past few weeks. I know you've heard it several times, but please bear with me as I read it once again, because it describes what we're building here. Come, taste, and see. Jesus Christ, you invite all people to your open table. You make us your people, a beloved community. You restore the joy of our relationship with God, even in the midst of loneliness, despair, and degradation. We are each unique, and we all belong, a priesthood of all believers. Baptized and filled with your Holy Spirit, you empower us to be your healing presence in a hurting world. We expect to see your reign on earth as it is in heaven, as we work toward a world where everyone has enough, wars cease, and all creation lives in harmony. We affirm your charge to all of humanity to care for the land, sea, and air. Therefore, we will actively resist systems and structures which are destroying your creation. With all of creation, we worship you. Every tribe, every language, every people, every nation. We know you by many names, Triune God, beyond comprehension. Reveal to us in Jesus Christ, who invites us to the feast. Amen. That's how we, as a denomination, have chosen to define our concept of Christ's kingdom of peace. Pope Francis spoke of this concept at the Interfaith Prayer gathering in Assisi last month when he said, only peace is holy. Only peace is holy, not war. This was at the culmination of a gathering in Assisi of world religious leaders praying for peace. It was also commemorating the 30th anniversary of the first Interfaith Peace Prayer gathering in October of 1986, that Saint Pope John Paul II convened, also in Assisi. So, what seeds are we called to sow? What is it that we're being called to work toward or build? I sincerely believe that we are all called to create the kingdom of God that our MCC statement of faith describes. I can imagine some of you saying, okay, Kevin, that sounds great, but what exactly are you talking about? What am I supposed to do? Well, I think one answer to that question can be found in a research study about what makes people thrive. The Dalai Lama quoted it in a recent New York Times op-ed article that he co-authored, where he said, "In one shocking experiment, researchers found that senior citizens who didn't feel useful to others were nearly three times as likely to die prematurely as those who did feel useful. This speaks to a broader human truth. We all need to be needed. Being needed doesn't necessarily entail selfish pride or unhealthy attachment to the worldly esteem of others. Rather, it consists of a natural human hunger to serve our fellow men and women. Virtually all of the world's major religions teach that diligent work in service of others is our highest nature and thus lies at the center of a happy life. Scientific surveys and studies confirm this shared tenet of many faiths. Americans who prioritize doing good for others are almost twice as likely to say they're very happy about their lives. In Germany, people who seek to serve society are five times likelier to say they're very happy than those who do not view service as important. Selflessness and joy are intertwined. The more we are one with the rest of humanity, the better we feel." So we have the Pope and the Dalai Lama in our company when we work to make the MCC statement of faith a reality here in Tampa. A couple weeks ago, we heard about Zacchaeus and how Jesus gently opened his mind to generosity and community involvement. That was a transformation. That transformation not only benefited Zacchaeus, it must have rippled throughout the community. In that same way, we can take a significant step toward building the kingdom by being involved in and working together to improve our community, starting with our church community. There is one more step that we need to take before this can really become a reality. We have to add the interpersonal dimension to the peace statement. What if we opened our minds to the concept that only peaceful interpersonal interactions are holy? Only peace is holy, not war. I can hear it already. "Oh, Kevin, you have no idea what they said or what they did." Well, think with me about what it must have been like to be around Christ, who taught and lived radical love and acceptance. He built a relationship with people, accepting them for who they were, and guided them gently to change their lives and their actions through the power of love. He taught us to live life lovingly every day, regardless of the circumstances. That was the way that he was able to transform Zacchaeus and so many others. Can you open your mind to being transformed in that way? Might that make your life more fulfilling? Please join me in prayer. Loving God, help us all to focus on your love and your peace. regardless of what may be happening around us. Give us the strength and the courage to use our talents and our gifts to build your kingdom right here at MCC Tampa.